Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies, which we're going to entitle Selected Parables from the Gospel according to St. Luke. We are using the word selected advisedly because there are some 30 parables in Luke, and to cover them all would just take too long. In Luke's Gospel, the Lord is portrayed as the Son of Man, and he reaches out to men in language they can understand. A parable has been defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Parables are stories that establish a parallel, and there is a connection between a parable and a parallel. They establish a parallel between something we know and are acquainted with and something the Lord wishes to teach us. The Lord was a great user of illustrations, and stories are always interesting. May God help us to understand the important lessons the Lord wishes to teach us in this series. Now, the parable that we'd like to consider today is found in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the parable of the creditor and the two debtors. Let's read the setting for the parable first of all, and then we'll go into the parable itself. Verse 36 of the 7th chapter of Luke, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman of the city, in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Now here's the parable. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, that is, the Lord said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head thou with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now the Lord was invited to this man Simon's house. He was a Pharisee. The Lord was the invited guest, but there was an uninvited guest, a sinful woman. But she was a seeking woman, and she was a sorrowing woman, and she was a sacrificing woman. She was a sinner by the description that we've just read in this 7th chapter of Luke, a woman who was a sinner. Now, she knew something about the Lord. She knew of his forgiveness. She knew that she would be received in his presence. Not Simon's, but his presence. Now, as they, in their feasts in those days, they ate down lying, and she slipped up behind the Lord, his feet would be behind him, and she began to minister to him, to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. And then she broke open an alabaster box of ointment. That tells me it was a very expensive experience for her. The alabaster box of ointment contained the ointment, and it was sold. It was very precious, and then it would be broken on very special occasions. Broken so that it would not come out until the time that it was wanted to come out. She broke it and poured it on the Lord's feet. Nothing was too good for the Lord as far as this woman was concerned. She realized her need of him. Now Simon said within himself, now if this man really was a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman this was, and he wouldn't even let her touch him. Well, the Lord couldn't let that go unchallenged. In his omniscience, he knew exactly what Simon was thinking. You know, our Lord is omniscient. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our attitude toward him. He knows whether or not we've accepted him. He knows whether or not our hearts have been touched with the fact that we need him. He knows all of this. We don't need to tell him a thing. Now, Simon got a real surprise. And he didn't get it until after the Lord had told the parable. And the Lord, in no uncertain terms, informed Simon, I knew what you were thinking. Well, let's go into the parable. There was a certain creditor, and he had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence. The other, 50 pence. Well, that's a ratio of 10 to 1. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. And then he addresses Simon, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. The Lord gave credit when credit was due. And then he turned to the woman. And he said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head thou didst with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which were many, are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now this is a wonderful story. These two creditors that the Lord speaks about owed varying amounts, one 10 times as much as the other, and they both had nothing to pay. Now the debtors here, the Lord identifies as sinners, straight out as sinners. They had nothing to pay. You and I have nothing to pay. We can't pay. I don't know whether I'm talking to 500 pence debtors or 50 pence debtors. There is a degree of sin. We must face that fact. Some sin more than others. But they had nothing to pay. They were debtors. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short, and we're sinners. We need the forgiveness of the Lord. Now, the Lord, in no uncertain terms, tells Simon who the 500 pence debtor was. It was the woman. And he was the 50 pence debtor. But he had nothing to pay. He needed the forgiveness of the Lord. His life had counted for nothing. It had not bought his salvation. He needed the forgiveness of the Lord. And he tells this Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. She loved the Lord much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Here is a very, very pressing question. Let's ask this question of ourselves. Do we love the Lord? How much? Do we love him much, or do we love him little? I venture to say that if we love the Lord little, it's because we don't realize our sinnership. We think that we're all right. And certainly that is a common fault. Now, the question might arise, What should we do to gain the approbation of the Lord? Should we commit a lot of sin and be a sinner like this woman was, and then love him much because our sins are forgiven? No. Stay as far away from sin as you can. But realize that you need him. Now, there are various degrees of sin, as far as you and I are concerned. Various degrees. We would say the 500 pence and the 50%, but not the Lord. The James, the Apostle James, in his epistle says, he that breaks one point in the law has broken all of it. That's not a verbatim quote, as you would understand. He that offends in one point is guilty of all, he tells the people to whom he is writing. We have all sinned against the Lord, and we need him desperately. Now, I suggest this, that if we don't love the Lord, it's because we have not realized our sinnership. This woman realized that she did not need to be told that she was a sinner. She went into the presence of the Lord weeping, and she loved him. You know, I'll tell you, if you don't love the Lord, I have a suggestion. Spend a little time at the foot of the cross and look up at that cross and realize the Lord loved you to the degree that he was dying for you on that cross. He had to die for my sins. That's a good exercise. Spend time at the foot of the cross and see how much the Lamb of God loved you. And you, like this woman, will love him in return. She loved much. Now, I have observed this, that some of the greatest saints of God, Mel Otter, a drunkard, I think two of others, great servants of God, were saved from sin. Oh, I tell you, we need to realize our sinnership. We need to realize how much the Lord loved us, and then the wells of gratitude would be opened, and we would do something for the Lord just like this woman. This pleased the Lord. And now he gives her the assurance that her sins were forgiven. I don't know whether she had it before she came. Was she trusting the Lord before she came? Well, I wouldn't be but surprised. At least she knew she would have a reception. And she loved him. She came. And I think love is the forerunner of faith. But the Lord wanted to set her mind at rest. And he says, "Woman, thy sins are forgiven thee." And then they had sat at meat, questioned the Lord's ability to do this. And then he gives her assurance, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Faith lays hold of Christ and his love. May God give it to us. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, bless this series of meetings on the gospel, the parables, rather, in Luke's gospel. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.